Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, family, and I hope you've had a blessed Sabbath. Shalom, my sister. Amen. Amen and amen. We are going to be talking about in the Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Brother Mal.
I pray you had a blessed Sabbath as well.
Yes, I did.
Amen. Amen. We're going to be talking about what month Messiah was born in on this evening. And the Most High put it on my heart to do this before the first of the month so that we have understanding what we are celebrating. And I originally years ago, you know, it always bothered me, December 25th, as his birthday. I'm saying, you know, something is just not right here. There's no feast day or anything in the Bible concerning this date, December 25th. And if Messiah, he says in a book, he says, I come in the what? The volume of the book?
Volume of
everything
the book.
In the book is written about me?
Amen.
Search the scriptures, in them you think you have life, but they are they that testify of me. So if we look at all the feast days, all the feast days are Messiah has fulfilled, not all the feast days, how do I say this? The feast days show us the works of the Most High, and all of the springtime feast days, we know Messiah fulfilled. He was killed on Passover and became the Passover lamb. He came out of the tomb on the feast of feast of first fruits. The feast of weeks has to do with him, this, you know, shedding forth the Holy Spirit. All of the feast days revolve around Messiah. Why would not his birth be covered in the scriptures?
Amen.
And it is covered in the scriptures. But how we're told to observe it, you know, we don't, it's not said to observe it as his birthday necessarily, but as the beginning. And he, one of his titles is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And so he has to do something to earn those titles. So being the first from the dead gives him, you know, the feast of the first fruits. But also in the prophecies and his titles, Emmanuel, God with us, or Elohim with us, tabernacle, Elohim dwelling with us. And so when we look at this word tabernacle, and I'm going to do this tonight from the word tabernacle. When we look at this word tabernacle, Elohim dwelling with us, we're going to look at examples of this, and then we're going to look at the actual tabernacle, the first tabernacle. And the first tabernacle would represent Elohim dwelling with us. Okay, and so it also has, is very prophetic. And so there are some things, and I think it, I think, just my personal opinion here, I think that because of all the stuff that is in Exodus, this is well hidden unless you look for it a certain way. So let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. Let me have you ladies to cover your heads. Let me welcome everybody first. I want to welcome everybody. This is Jah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I am Brother Miles. And if you're listening in Pal Talk or on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening from, North America or South America, the continent of Africa or the European theater, the Far East, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. May have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads as we do our statement of faith on this evening. In our statement of faith, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for allowing us to observe your Shabbat. Thank you for being our Elohim, Father. Thank you for being a provider, a securer, a succorer. Hallelujah. Our Savior, hallelujah, our Redeemer. We thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the work that you're going to do for us in the future, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do, Father. Just can't thank you enough. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Glory to you, O Father. Glory to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Man.
All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading on tonight. Let us get Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. And let us get John chapter 14 and 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and jump into this precept. And we want to do, when was Messiah born? And I really want to do this strictly from the Word of the Most High. I have sources, outside sources. Some of them I still have to validate, so I don't really want to use them. Like the Black Sea Scrolls, which are the earliest Bible ever found. Complete Bible that was ever found, and then, you know, translations compared to the Septuagint and the Pentateuch, the Septuagint, or the, there's one from Egypt, and then there's one from Greece that they used to translate from Bibles, but the Dead Sea Scrolls was the oldest Bible that they ever found, and complete work. And, you know, and of course, some of it was fragmented because when they threw the rock into the cave, they broke some of the jars that this Bible was in. And then the guy was actually looking for firewood, and he found these scrolls, and he started burning them for fire until somebody discovered what he had. So there's some things that are missing from those. That are not included, you know, in the Bible because he burnt them. Nevertheless, I don't want to use that source either. I'm going to use it another time because in the Dead Sea Scrolls, we're given the course. There's a calendar of the course of the priesthood as they served in the temple. And we know that in the New Testament, we're told that Zechariah when the angel came to him to tell him about the birth of his son, John, that his wife would get pregnant, that it was in the course of Abiah, A-B-I-J-A-H, depending upon if you want to use the Hebrew or, you know, the English pronunciation. So we can know that whatever course that was, whenever it was serving, and it wasn't the same time every year, that's the thing. those courses, it was 24 courses, and we can find that in also in 1 Chronicles, chapter 24. Can find those courses, you know, the first course all the way through the 24th course. And then the Most High, I was laying in the bed earlier, and, you know, I was contemplating this because, I prove all things. And, you know, people have proved this in different ways. And then the Most High says, you can know the day through the courses, and you can get the start of the courses because they want, you know, they say that in order to determine when the course of Abijah was in Zechariah's day, you would have to know when they started. But the courses started, and I'll just tell you, the courses started the first month, the first day of the month, in the second year after they came out of Egypt. This is when the courses started, that each family would have a turn taking care of the tabernacle and doing those things. And then it went on into the temple. Okay. But the Most High set this up with Moses, and then he told Moses to, let's go here. Let's go to, we're going to go to a few places in Exodus because we want to establish some dates, okay? And let's go to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. And we're going to get verse 17, 16 and 17. And we'll come back here. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Exodus chapter 40, verses 16 and 17. Thus did Moses according to all that Yah commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. Now the Most High told him earlier, I think in verse 1 and 2 of this same chapter, let's go back up to verses 1 and 2, because Moses didn't raise the tabernacle when he wanted to raise it. Verses 1 and 2 in the same chapter. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month thou shalt set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. So the Most High told Moses when to set the tabernacle up. This is the first time that it's being set up. What it means by set up, it means to be, you know, put up and assembled for service. So this is the first time that it's happening. And they are in the second year after they have come out of Egypt. Now, we want to know, let's do it this way. What does this word tabernacle mean? Okay, so let's get the definition for tabernacle. And I'm going to get it from the Strong's. Tabernacle. Mishkan. M-I-S-H-K-A-W-N. A residence, including a shepherd's hut, the lairs of animals, particularly the grave, also the temple, specifically the tabernacle, properly dwelling place. Okay, now, when the Most High comes to Israel and says, make me a sanctuary, he's saying that he's going to dwell with them and he's going to visit them in this place that they build for him. I'm going to dwell with you here. And my presence shall be known to you here. So the tabernacle is for us and for Israel that they made for the Most High was the place that the Most High would dwell with Israel, or Emmanuel. It's another way of saying Emmanuel. Elohim, what? With us. This tabernacle was in the center of the camps at first. And the Most High, when we went through the study of the tribes and their positions of each tribe actually made a cross like the Christian cross. It made a cross, and in the center of that cross, the way the camp was laid out, was the tabernacle until Israel caused the Most High. You know, he said, I can't be in here amongst y'all. Y'all just nasty. I can't walk in here and all this doo-doo laying around everywhere. They weren't sanitary. And the Most High says, uh-uh. Take the tabernacle outside the camp. Okay. But it was intended to be in the center of the camp. Okay. And so this is Elohim dwelling with Israel. And that's what that word tabernacle means, dwelling, a dwelling place. When the Most High would be in the tabernacle, he would be dwelling with Israel. Now, this tabernacle, from the standpoint of a dwelling place, and from the standpoint of the Most High dwelling with us, is also very prophetic. So let's go to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. And I want to ask you guys a question in your studies. In Exodus chapter 19, and I've said to you, when we read and when we study, we got to ask questions. We got to ask why all the time. And then ask the Most High to reveal it to us, to show us. So when did they arrive, you know, at Mount Sinai? Let's get this. In the third month, when the children of Israel, and when you have it, if you'll say amen, Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1.
Amen.
Amen. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So it says the third month in the same day that they went forth out of the land of Egypt. What day did they go forth out of the land of Egypt?
The first day of the first month.
And we're going to call that month a B, because I know you like that month, that name. And it does call it a month. Okay? And then in the Babylonian times, it calls it what? Nisan. But the first month of Abib, A-B-I-B, the first day of the first month. Now we're in the first day of the third month. Everybody understand that?
Yep.
We're in the first day of the third month. And they arrive at Sinai in the wilderness. So we are in the third month, and the Most High is going to do something here. Let's keep reading. So let's see what happens here. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thou shalt say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which Yah commanded. And all the people answered and said, All that Yah has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yah. And Yah said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak unto thee and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Yah. And Yah said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. So he went up there on the first day. The Most High said, tell the people I'm going to do something with them. Moses goes back down. He tells the people. And he goes back up the mountain to give the answer that the people gave him. And then on the next day, on that same day, the Most High told Moses, I'm going to have the people to what? Sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. And let them wash their clothes. And be ready on the third day. So today, the first day of the third month, to the third day of the third month. And on the third day, the Most High comes down. Okay? Will come down in the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai. So we have a time frame here. The first day of the third month, they arrive. The Most High calls Moses up on the mountain and says, tell the people, the children of Israel, that they shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people of the earth. Moses go back down off the mountain and tells the people these words. And then the people say, all that Yah has said, we will do. Moses goes back up the mountain to deliver this word to the Most High. The Most High says, okay, now tell the people to sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I'm going to come down and visit. Okay. Now, so we have a time frame. We have the third day of the third month. Okay. Now, the Most High comes down, and he starts to give the children of Israel his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. And he didn't give this to Moses first. He's saying it out loud so that the children of Israel can hear it. Can anybody tell me how long the Most High was down on the ground? How long he stayed on top of the mountain?
It was 40 days.
40 days? I think it was a little bit longer than that. You close, though. Let me ask this question first before I go there. How many days was he giving the instructions to the children of Israel? Let me ask that.
You mean three days?
3 days? Close, but no. So let's go get it out of the scriptures. Let's go to Exodus chapter 24. I believe that's where I found this. Exodus 24, verses 18 and 19. All right, and when you have it, let's start at verse 15. When you have it, if you'll say amen. Exodus chapter 24, verses 15, starting in verse 15.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of Yah abode upon the Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it how many days?
6 days.
6 days. And on the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of Yah was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went in the midst of the cloud and got up onto the mount. And Moses was in the mountain how many days and nights?
40 days and 40 nights.
So the Most High comes down, and he meets the people on the third of the month. And for the next 6 days, he's giving them instructions. During the day, they go to sleep at night. But for 6 days, he's giving them instruction, and he's giving them the laws, and they're hearing it. And then on the seventh day, he calls Moses back to the mountain and back into the cloud. And then Moses is up there. So we are gone. If he came down on the third, and he was, you know, and for 6 days he gave them instructions, now we're at the ninth of the month. And then on the seventh day, that would be the 10th of the month, then Moses goes back into the cloud for 40 days. That's 40 days is a month of 30 days plus 10 days, right?
Right.
So Moses is gone for another month and 10 days. So we can add 30 days to the seventh of the month. We will be in the fourth month, the seventh day, plus 10 days, the fourth month, the 17th day, when Moses comes back down. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
In reckoning? So you have to write these things down to make sure that I'm, keep me straight. But the Most High comes down on the third of the month. He comes and he stays 6 days. That will take it to the ninth of the month. On the seventh day, Moses goes back up the mountain. So that would be the 10th of the month. So I think I got that day wrong because it's the 10th of the month. So 30 days from that would be the fourth month, the 10th day, plus 10 day, the fourth month and the 20th day, rather than the fourth month and the 17th day. Fourth month and the 20th day, Moses is up on the mountain. That's 40 days. So in the fourth month, on the 20th day of the month, let's go to Exodus chapter 25. Moses has come back down from the mountain. And when you have it, say amen.
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 And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering, every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, and you shall take my offering. What is this offering for? And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and scarlet, blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin and shittim wood. Oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for a sweet incense. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may do what? Verse 8.
I may dwell among them.
That I may dwell among them, that I may tabernacle among them. Because that word dwelling and tabernacle are one and the same. Everybody get this?
So far.
Okay. So the sanctuary, the word sanctuary, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That word tabernacle, when we looked it up, is a dwelling place. So the Most High wants them to make him a dwelling place, that he would dwell among us, Yah with us, Emmanuel. Everybody see what I'm doing?
Amen.
Because Emmanuel, what does Emmanuel mean?
Yah with us.
God with us. So anytime that the Most High comes down and he's dwelling with us, we could actually say what? Emmanuel. We can say tabernacle. So he says, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. Verse 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the what?
Tabernacle.
The tabernacle. The dwelling place in heaven. The pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So this is in the fourth month, the 20th day of the month, as a minimum. The fourth month. So you want to write that down. Because this is the conception of the tabernacle. The conception of the tabernacle. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to do a little bit of math in a minute.
Uh-uh.
Let's go to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40.
40?
Yeah, Exodus chapter 40.
Okay.
You know, we were already here before, but we're going back there. And Yah spake unto Moses, and if we all have it, say amen.
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 All right, thank you. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month thou shalt set up the tabernacle. You shall set up my dwelling place, the tent of the congregation. So what month did they start building the tabernacle, gathering for it? What month was it conceived?
The third month.
The fourth month.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, the fourth month. What day was it set up or born?
The first day of the first month.
Okay. The first day of the first month. How many months is that? And you got, and I'll, let me see what you come up with. From the month that it was conceived to the month that it was actually born, set up. How many months is that?
4 months.
You said 4 months?
I said, well, yeah, I might be wrong, though.
You might be.
Oh.
All right, let's do it this way. How many months in a year?
12.
So if you start counting in the fourth month to the first month, how many months is that?
18.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm counting down. 18.
Yeah.
From the fourth month until the first day of the first month, how many months is that?
Okay, hold up.
Can I be heard? Do we count the first month that you're pregnant?
No. Oh, well, I
actually,
don't know.
You do.
I said 8.
Well, let's do it this way. Let's use our fingers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the fourth month would be the first month.
Okay, one.
That's one finger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to count out to the first month. Fourth month, raise another finger. Fifth month, raise another finger. Sixth month, raise another finger. Seventh month, raise another finger. Eighth month, go to the second hand. Go to another finger, that's the ninth month. Go to another finger, that's the tenth month. Go to another finger, that's the 11th month. Go to another finger, that's the 12th month. How many fingers do you have raised right now?
9. So it's 10 months.
This is 9 months that have gone by. The first day of the first month, you have completed 9 months, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How many months does it take for a baby to be born?
Nine
months.
Sometimes 9. I don't know.
9.
9 months. Plus or minus some days sometime, right? It can be
right.
Plus some days or minus some days, but it's typically, we will say it's what, 9 months?
Nine
from
months.
Conception
yeah.
to birth for a human baby. The tabernacle is 9 months in the building of it. From conception to the setup is 9 months. So this is the same time frame that it takes for a human baby. Now, this tabernacle is the dwelling place of the Most High, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Messiah is compared to the tabernacle. And this tabernacle that's built on earth is prophetic of him. I come in the volume of the book. Search the scriptures, and in them you will what? Find me.
Mm-hmm.
In everything.
Amen.
So the original tabernacle that the Most High had our forefathers to build was a type and shadow and prophetic, prophetic message or word from the Most High of when Messiah would be born, the month. So the tabernacle was raised the first day of the which month?
First month.
Amen.
And what day did he tell us to remember? Did he tell us to remember this day?
He said remember the month of April, if it's the first month, this is our new year.
This shall be the beginning of months for you, right? The beginning of
right.
years.
Right.
And to remember this day. Now, this day happens to also be the day of Messiah's birth. And this is what he was telling them to remember, even though he didn't say to celebrate it, what, as his birthday? He didn't give it as
right.
one of the feast days?
No.
But it is his birth, in prophetically his birth. The tabernacle was raised the first of Nisan. Elohim dwelling with us would have happened on the first of Nisan in the flesh. So when Messiah would, he didn't come and dwell with us in the tabernacle in the flesh, but when Messiah was to come, and Messiah is that tabernacle, when the Most High, when he replaced the tabernacle or the temple, when he rented the veil of the temple, what does he equate that to?
I guess the water breaking.
Do we remember from any lessons?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay,
let's
go back
to
everything.
It's going to be in the New Testament. Did I tell the search in the New Testament? Give me a second. We're going to get one verse concerning the veil in the temple. Because the temple replaced, what did the temple replace?
It replaced Yah with the dwelling in the tabernacle.
Right. It replaced the tabernacle. The tabernacle used to be moved around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time Israel, every time that the fire, the presence of the Most High left the tabernacle, they would pack up. And it would follow that pillar of fire. And when the pillar of fire would stop, they would stop there and set back up the tabernacle. Everybody understand that process?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the tabernacle was mobile.
So it was like a portable worship.
Go ahead, my sister.
It was like a portable place for them to worship at, right?
Right, well, they were on the move, so they couldn't set up the tabernacle and then move and leave it there.
Right.
So they would have to pack it up and take it with them. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, so, but the Most High wanted a permanent place, and David wanted to build the Most High a what? Permanent place. That's where the temple comes from. So he allowed Solomon to build him a temple and the Ark of the Covenant. Everything that was in the tabernacle was put there, then put in where?
In the temple.
And it was no longer moved around. That's the only difference. So while they wandered through the wilderness and while they were attacking and taking the land, the tabernacle was mobile. And whenever they moved, the tabernacle moved. So then when we come to the time of Messiah, we have the temple and we don't have the actual what? We don't have, per se, the mobile tabernacle. We have the temple. And everything that was in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle is now in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And the temple was now the place that the Most High, what, met them, that he dwelled with them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'll make sure we're together.
Okay, we're still there.
Yes, we together.
All right, amen. And Sister Mary, you with us? Because you sound like you have some doubt there.
No, I'm here.
All right, amen.
I be writing. I have to write stuff down. I have to go back and read.
Oh, amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Because remember, in the tabernacle, they had the Holy of Holies. And the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies was Aaron and his family. Inside the Holy of Holies was the altar of sacrifice, and it was the mercy seat. Well, the actual altar was outside the Holy of Holies. It was in the Holies, and in the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat. And there was a veil, a curtain that was before that, that was in front of that, that only the high priest, whoever was serving as high priest at that time, they were the only ones that could go in there and make this and make the atonement for Israel. Do we recall that?
Yes, because that's what Zechariah did, right?
Okay. Right. Okay. So let's go to Matthew 27 and verse 51, and when you have it.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
And behold, the veil, that curtain that was in front of the Holy of Holies that only the high priest could go behind of the temple was rent in two. It was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks did rent. The rocks also what broke in half. They were breaking. Okay. When was this event? What has just happened? Messiah has just what?
It just died.
He had just died. And in Messiah, at this time, who was dwelling in Messiah?
Who was dwelling in Messiah?
Yep.
The Father.
The Father.
The Father.
Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Holy Spirit. We'll say the Father. We'll say the Father for right now. But the Holy Spirit, okay?
Okay.
Was dwelling in Messiah. But the Holy Spirit is the one that met them in the Old Testament in the Holy of Holies. The one in the self spirit, the Father, right?
Right.
I'm gonna meet you at the mercy seat, and once a year I'm gonna give atonement to the nations, and so the high priest who's on duty at that time. This is the course of the priest that I said we can track. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to actually go back and get some information and then track this back so that I can confirm it for myself. I don't want to take somebody's word for it. Track it back because the Most High showed me how I can get it in the scriptures. And the veil that was up there that separated the Holy of Holies from everything else that only the high priest could go into, that veil was torn. And when when the high priest would go in, he would meet with the Most High, the Father, the Holy Spirit. He would meet with him and he would get absolution or he would not get absolution for the nation. So this is where the high priest would meet the Most High. And the veil that covered this torn and opened up. So now not only it, the Most High was telling them, I'm no longer going to what? Meet you here. This is done. Okay. Now, where, what all, what else did this represent? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And let's get verse 20. And when you have it, say amen.
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 Well, let's actually get verse, starting verse 19. And we'll get 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua. You know, I need to establish something else first. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, and let's get verse 3 first, then we'll come back here. Hebrews chapter 9, and when you have it, say amen. Then we're going to come back to Hebrews chapter 10.
Amen.
All right, because we're trying to establish what Messiah represented, okay? Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now, we read about that. The Most High said, tell the people, bring me an offering that they may make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
This is what this is talking about. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the what? What was that called? The holiest of all. In another place, where it'll be called the holiest of what? Holies. Saying the same thing. The most holy place among us. The place where Elohim met us. So after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, in the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of the glory shadowing the mercy seat, which we cannot now speak particularly. But the mercy seat, the Most High met the high priest, and his presence would show up above the mercy seat between the cherubims, okay, according to the scriptures. This is where the Most High met them at. This is where he dwelled at, between the cherubims. Okay, so this was in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, and in the temple. When Messiah was crucified and he died, the veil, that second veil, ripped from top to bottom. And guess who stepped out?
Yeshua.
The Father.
Holy Ghost.
The Father is the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
He stepped out. I'm not going to meet you here anymore. Can't come here and meet me. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. This veil is rent, but this veil represented and enclosed the place where the Most High, the mercy seat, where the Most High met them at. He dwelt behind that curtain. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10.
What verse?
And we're going to go down to verse 19 and 20.
All right.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood, the holiest place was the Holy of Holies, right? the most holy place.
Right.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way. There's a new way to enter into the presence of the Most High, the holiest of holies, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, what was his veil now?
The flesh.
His flesh.
His flesh. So the flesh of Messiah, when his flesh was torn and died, the veil in the Holy of Holies ripped open.
Yes.
Messiah, while he walked the earth, he was that living what? Tabernacle.
Veil.
He was the veil behind which the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High, dwelled. In it, behind his flesh, but he was, as a total, he represented the tabernacle. His whole body was the tabernacle. His body is where the Holy Spirit dwelled. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
So, his body was the tabernacle. He was the living tabernacle. And because his flesh was ripped open, it gave us access to the Spirit inside, which was the Father, the Holy Spirit. Now, who gives us the Holy Spirit?
The Father.
Let's go see. Go to John.
John.
Book of John.
I got John.
Okay, and hold on. Let me find the verse. Give me a hot second here.
Incarnation.
Okay. Let's start here so we can make sure we don't have any confusion.
Problemos.
Talking.
Let's start in verse 14. 1 John verse 14, okay?
What's
when you have it, say amen. When, I said 1 John. The book of John, chapter 1.
Oh, okay. That's 14.
I keep saying 1 John. I don't know why I'm doing that, but John, chapter 1.
Man.
No, I'm not crazy, but I might be going crazy.
No, it's crazy. Yeah.
Stop saying that.
World crazy.
John chapter 1. Everybody have it?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Sir.
Verse 14. And the Word, and when we read up higher, we know that it says the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right?
Was God. Yeah.
And the Word, which was God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Yeshua HaMashiach. No man, no man has seen, no man has seen Elohim at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, they're asking John, who are you? Okay. John has seen Messiah. He has testified that Yeshua is Messiah. And the Jews want to know who John is. And he confessed and denied, not but confessed. What was his confession? Verse 20.
I am not Christ. Elohim.
I'm not the Christ. I'm not the one you're looking for, right?
Right.
Yes.
And they ask him, what then? Are you Elias? And he said, I am not. Are you that prophet? Who is that prophet? Anybody know?
Come out.
Elijah.
He's talking about...
He just asked,
yeah.
Are you Elijah? Didn't he just ask, what then, art thou Elijah? Elias is Elijah, okay?
He's talking about
and he said, I am not. He says, art thou that prophet? What did you say, my sister?
Was he of Yeshua, Jesus?
That's Jesus. Where are they getting this from? To ask
a prophecy.
This. It's a prophecy, right?
Right.
Made by who?
Made by the prophet.
Moses.
Yeah, hold on. Made by Moses. Let's go get
okay.
it. Go to get to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Keep your finger right there where we're at and go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And we're going to get verse 15. And when you have it, say amen.
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 All right, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15.
Yes, sir.
And Yah thy Elohim will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall what? Hearken, you shall listen. This is the prophet that they are asking about in John chapter 1, verse 21. Because they know Moses, he prophesied, the Most High told him that he would give them another, he would raise up another prophet like Moses, right?
Right.
And they want to know. But they also said that Elijah would come in the last days. So they're asking John, who are you? Let's go back to John chapter 1. Go back to verse 21. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the priests, have sent some people to question John. And the first thing they asked him was, are you the Christ? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. He said that in verse 20, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And they said, and they asked, what then? If you're not the Christ, then are you who? Elias, Elijah.
Elijah.
And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? That prophet is referring back to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. The prophet that the Most High told Moses that he would raise up to Israel, that the people were supposed to listen to, right?
Right.
Right.
And he answered, no, I'm not that prophet. Verse 22. Then they said unto him, well, who art thou? Who are you? If you're not that prophet, you're not Elijah, what are you doing coming baptizing? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? What do you say for yourself? Who are you? Now, this verse 23, you would have to go into Isaiah chapter 40, I believe. 40 or 50. I forget where. I think it's 40. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the path of Yah. as he said, of the prophet Isaiah. Okay. So let's go to let me find this. I believe it's Isaiah 40. And y'all have to excuse me because this part I'm doing out of my head, so it's not part of the notes that I originally had. Old Testament. Keep your finger here, and we're going to Isaiah. Let me look in chapter 40 first, because I believe that's where it's at. Yes, Isaiah chapter 40. So if you will hold your finger there and flip to Isaiah chapter 40. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 Yes, sir.
We'll make sure all this lines up. There's nothing that's here by chance. Isaiah Hallelujah. Chapter 40, starting in verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith Elohim. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of Yah's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that what?
Crieth in the wilderness.
Prepare ye the way of Yah. Make straight in the deserts the way of our who?
Our Elohim.
Our Elohim. Make straight in the deserts the highway for our Elohim. Prepare ye the way of Yah, the Most High. They asked John, who was he? He said, I'm the one. I'm the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's drop down to verse 6, because this voice is told to cry. Verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, this is the prophet that's being prophesied about. What shall I cry? Cry to Israel, all flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withers away, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of Yah blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass wither and the flower fadeth, but the word of our Elohim shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, what is he crying? Behold who?
Behold your Elohim.
So who is John supposed to be announcing?
The coming of the Messiah. Elohim.
The coming up Messiah, but who is he telling them the Messiah is?
Elohim, the Father.
Father. Behold your Elohim. Cry unto them, behold your Elohim. Here he is. They were supposed to know this. This is what the voice crying in the wilderness was supposed to tell them. Behold your Elohim, your Redeemer, your Savior. Because all through this book of Isaiah, the Most High tells us, I'm the only Elohim. I'm your King. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your what? Savior.
Savior.
So John is saying, the one that I am telling you about, is the one that was before me. Because he was what before me. He existed before I did.
Yeah.
Behold your God. This is what he was supposed to cry to Israel. So when he says, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness, the Sadducees and the Pharisees should have known about this prophecy in what, Isaiah? He told them where to go look.
Yep.
All they had to do is go back and look for the voice of one crying in the wilderness in the prophecy of Isaiah, and they would have known who he was talking about, who he's supposed to what? Announce. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Yes.
I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Behold your Elohim.
Brother,
who did John come to announce? Messiah. Who is Messiah? Your Elohim.
Elohim.
In the flesh. Verse 10. Behold, Yah Elohim will come with a strong hand, and his arms shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So this is who John is supposed to announce. Hear, O Israel, behold your Elohim. But he's going to announce him as the Messiah. Let's go back to John chapter 1. Did I lose anyone?
Nope, not yet.
John chapter 1, and where will we? Let's see. Let's go back to verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Yah. Because that did it not tell him to announce their Elohim?
Yep.
Yeah.
So when it says the Lord here, this is really the name of the Most High. As said the prophet Isaiah, you want to know who I am? I'm telling you who I am. Go look at the prophet who Isaiah. And look at who Isaiah says, what the prophet that Isaiah is talking about, what he's supposed to announce. I'm that prophet that Isaiah was talking about. And the one I'm telling you to behold is your Elohim. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there is some kind of a collaboration going between them.
Collaboration?
Yeah.
Yeah, the collaboration is the Most High doing everything. He's doing everything.
Thank you.
So keep going. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Who are you, John? Now, the question I originally asked was, who gives the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not who?
The Messiah.
The Christ, right?
Amen.
If you be not the Christ,
mm-hmm.
if you're not Elohim, because the Most High was supposed to come as Christ. But if you be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet. Now, they don't understand that two of these are the same individuals.
Right.
They don't understand that. That's why they're asking this question this way. They don't understand that Christ and that prophet are one and the same. If you're not the Christ, the Messiah, why are you baptizing? They thought Elias was supposed to come baptizing as well, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah.
Yeah, it seems like that's what they thought.
Right. They're thinking that, hey, We think the scripture says Elijah is supposed to become baptizing. Why baptizest thou if thou be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? They knew one or all of these were supposed to come what? Baptizing?
Right.
So, John, why are you baptizing if you're not none of these? This is the conversation that's going on. John answered them saying, I baptize with water. But there stands among you, there stands one among you whom you know not. He it is who comes after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethsaida beyond the Jordan where John was baptized. The next day, John sees Yeshua coming unto them and says, Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest. To Israel, therefore, I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. This is his cousin, but I didn't know he was Messiah. All this time he'd been in the world. When I was in the womb, I made my mother prophesy. But as a man, I didn't know that my cousin was Messiah. Because he had to be given a sign. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, what did he say? Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with what?
Holy.
The Holy Ghost.
So who baptizes, who gives you the Holy Ghost?
Jesus.
Hello.
Elohim. Your father, Yeshua, the Messiah.
Messiah. Who is
Jesus.
Messiah? Who was John supposed to be announcing is there? Behold your who? It's just another way of him telling us who he is, okay?
Messiah, Mashiach.
Messiah is the one that baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. Messiah is the Most High in what?
In flesh.
In flesh, because it seems like we get confused with these words when we're saying he is all those, right?
He is, he's
the one being, he's doing what? Everything.
Everything.
But because of the way the scriptures are worded, people think it's different individuals.
Yep. But it's just him.
It's just him. And the reason that you got to go back to Isaiah was John said, you want to know who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing? Go to the prophet Isaiah, and I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, what am I supposed to be crying to you? Behold your Elohim. Here's the one I'm talking about, Israel. This is the one I told you about. He's preferred before me because he was before me, because he is your Elohim. Everybody, did anybody get that or miss that?
No, I didn't miss it.
Catch
you. I got it.
Amen. This is your Elohim. Behold your Elohim. He's here. Isaiah told you, I would come on the scene and I would tell you your Elohim is here. Your Elohim promised to come. He told you that he was your Savior. He told you that he was your Redeemer. He told you that he was your King. He told you that he would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. If Messiah is the one that baptizes you with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Most High, He's given you his own spirit. That's why it says, if the spirit of Elohim dwell in you, and if you have not the spirit of Christ, they are one in the self, same what?
Same person.
Same person, the same spirit.
I got
so I'm the one that was behind the veil. I'm the one that met you on the mercy seat in the tabernacle. Now I'm walking in flesh. And when my flesh was ripped open, I released my spirit to the world.
Amen.
This is that tabernacle. Messiah was that walking tabernacle. Does that make sense to people?
Yes, it does.
And it says that you have access to him through the veil of, what did it call his what did it call the veil of Messiah?
The holiest of all. The holy of holies.
Amen. Let's go back to
Hebrews.
Yeah, let's go back to 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You want access to the Holy of Holies that only the high priest had access to? Did my mouse just die? Looks like it did.
Can I ask the question?
Yes, ma'am, of course.
Well, just make a statement. It would seem to me that if the Pharisees was reading prophecy, they should have known.
They should have known. That's why Messiah said, if you don't believe me, believe the works. You should know who I am. If you, if you've been reading and studying the prophets, then you should know who I am. You should know who John is.
Amen.
That's why when we're told in the scripture, John told us who to go read. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. As saith the prophet Elias. Elias is another name for Isaiah.
Amen.
So you go to Isaiah and you look for what? The voice of one crying. You should find that prophecy, right?
Right.
Yes.
If John said, according to the prophet Isaiah, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, then you should go see if he made that prophecy. You should verify that, right?
Right.
And then you should see what the prophecy was. What is he supposed to be saying? Because it doesn't tell you. It doesn't tell you in the New Testament. If you want to know what Elias, what John was supposed to be crying about, you got to go to the prophecy.
Right.
John just simply says, "I'm the one fulfilling the prophecy." But if you want to know what the prophecy is, you got to go to the prophet Elias, Isaiah. And we went to that prophecy, right?
We did.
Mm-hmm.
In Isaiah chapter 40.
Yeah.
And he says, behold, tell Israel to behold your Elohim. He's here. John says, here's who I was talking about. The one that's preferred, the one that's here before you, I'm not even worthy to unloose his what?
His sandals.
Shoelace.
His shoelace on his sandals. You don't know who's before you. If this man, I'm not worthy to unloose his the latchets, the laces on his sandals. This must be somebody awful important.
Amen.
And they should have known who Messiah was.
I would have thought so. But maybe he fixed it so they would know, like you said, it ain't for everybody.
No, it's not for everybody. Everybody can't see this. Even everybody can't then. Understand it because why? It's not given to them.
Even back then. Hallelujah.
It's not given to them to understand it. But we've been given the keys. All we got to do is believe what we read. And John told us, I'm the one that the prophet Isaiah was talking about. Isaiah was talking about. I had to go find it. I said, wait a minute. If Isaiah prophesied about this, then it's got to be in Isaiah. So I went and found it. And when I first taught this lesson concerning, so we're talking about the birth date, the birth month of Messiah, because he is the tabernacle. That's why we tie it to, you have to, if you want to know when Messiah was born, then you got to go all the way back to the first tabernacle, because it's a type and a shadow of the Messiah to come, Elohim dwelling with us. Messiah was Elohim in the what?
In the flesh.
Yeah.
In the flesh, dwelling with us. When was he to be born? The first tabernacle told us. It was 9 months in the making. From conception to birth, it was 9 months. It was raised on the first of Nisan, the first of Abib. That's when Messiah was born. The first of Abib. So let me ask a question. I've asked this before. When are, in the middle hemisphere, because this doesn't apply to the tropics, it doesn't apply to the jungles of Africa, because when you live in a tropical place and food is abundant all year long, you can have babies whenever you want. Because you're going to have food that you are able to eat and produce milk, or if they come out eating already, they got food available, right?
Right.
But if you are in the northern hemisphere or the mid-hemispheres, when are all the children, when are all the babies born?
Yeah.
Even in the southern hemisphere, when are all the babies in nature born?
Yeah. In the spring.
In the spring. Why?
Because that's when things are growing and everything is flourishing and the grass is green and the fruits on the trees
and
are growing.
The weather is warming up.
Right.
Rather than getting colder, the earth is
right.
Producing and bringing forth new fruits and new grasses so that the grazing animals can, what, eat?
Can eat, yes.
The mother sheep can have enough grass to eat so they can produce milk to feed their lambs. And it just goes up the food chain, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the spring. This is when Messiah is the Lamb of Elohim.
Amen.
He would be born at the time of lambs. So the lambs aren't born in the middle of winter, right?
Right.
When is Christmas?
In the middle of winter.
Is that in the dead of the winter?
In the dead of winter.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Messiah would not have been born then. You could make a case that Messiah could have been born in October. Because it's not in most places, like not like where y'all live at, but most other places.
I know.
It's not that cold yet. So in Israel, the average temperature in October, September, October, November, November really starts to get cold, the winter time in Israel. October is not that cold yet. But still, it's going from fall time into what? Winter.
Winter.
You wouldn't want your baby to be born then as a what? One of those animals?
Right.
Because instead of an increase of food, the food is doing what?
Decreasing.
Decreasing. So it makes absolutely no sense for sheep to be born, especially if they're wild. Now, if you are raising them and you're raising them on the inside,
You could do that. You could actually cause that to happen. But the clue for us is, okay, in my research on lambing and the practice of the shepherds and the practice today, if you wanted to have sheep in the winter, you could. You could cause them to do that. And you could, you know, make them lamb and they could have a baby in October, November. The thing with that is they got to be on the inside. That's the clue right there, okay?
Uh-huh. Yes.
They got to be on the inside because it's doing what? Turning cold.
Oh.
The days are getting cooler, right? Not warmer.
Right.
You have a baby. I don't care what kind of baby it is, a lamb, an ox, a cow. You have it when it starts to turn colder. Do you think it's going to be harder for that baby to survive?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to actually intervene and house that lamb and that ewe, that baby, inside for it to survive. If you're going to make it have a lamb or a calf that time of year. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go to, I think I want to go to the book of Luke. Let me get my notes here. I believe it's Luke chapter 1. Because we're gonna read the scriptures, and let me get me another mouse because my mouse just died.
And Brother Mouse, I figured it wasn't December because he told the people that was outside tending to the lamb that your Messiah was born.
Right, and that's where we're getting ready to go to the shepherds. Okay. That's exactly where we're getting ready to go, because you're going to have to ask yourself, you know, we got to do what, critical thinking?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wouldn't have had their lambs and their sheep and stuff out in the cold like that.
That's right, in the cold.
Right. Where were the shepherds at?
They were outside.
Outside, in the field.
In the field.
Because if they were having lambs when it's starting to turn cold, then there should have been no room, not at the end, but in the, what, mangers.
Right.
Because who would have been in the mangers?
Right.
The animals,
the sheep, because it would have been cold.
Yeah.
You guys getting the picture now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the scriptures is giving us the information. We just got to believe what we're reading. Let me get this. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. My bad. Luke chapter 2. And when you have it, say amen.
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 And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock.
Wait,
the shepherds
wait, wait.
Are.
Where you at? To what?
Oh,
one?
I'm sorry. I said verse 1. Verse 8.
Verse 8.
Let me start in verse 1. Okay. I'll start in verse 1. That's where I should start anyway. I start in verse 8. My bad.
8 and 1? Or 2 and 1?
Luke chapter 2.
Okay.
Verse 1. And if everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the people should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed. Everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, they are married, but he has not come together with her, but she's with child, right? That's what the scriptures told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. His espoused wife. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should deliver, that she should be ready to have this baby. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, why would there not be any room in the inn?
Because all the people had came to be taxed or be censored, and they were all filled up, you know, like it was
Amen. They are all coming because they have to pay taxes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And what else is going on, though?
They're being censored.
And what else?
They have to go to their own country to complete a censor. I might not be saying it right.
No, you're saying it right. Passover is coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'll never get that out.
Does everybody have to be in Jerusalem for Passover?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they're going to wait until the last minute?
Nope. Nope.
So they have already started gathering, and all the hotels are what?
They filled up.
Oh, okay.
There ain't no room at the inns. Not only are people coming, because the Romans weren't stupid. Why are you going to tell the people to travel during the months when they're not supposed to be in Jerusalem, when you know that there's a requirement that they be in Jerusalem certain months?
Right.
So if I'm going to tax you, I'm going to tax you during a time and tell you you got to pay taxes during the time that you have to be in Jerusalem.
Because
you're already traveling.
Okay.
So I'm not putting no extra burden on you, right?
Right.
I'm not putting no extra burden on you, but I'm going to tax you, but I'm not making you travel when it's not convenient because you're supposed to be traveling anyway. So the people are coming for Passover. And it's the first of the month. It's coming up on the first of the month. But they're already traveling. They're not. Remember, it's not like today. Can't jump in your car and be 300 or 400 miles away in a couple of hours. That's some days' trips. And if you're coming from far away, it could be some month trips. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So you coming by camel. You're not going to leave the day before unless you live that far away. But if you live further than the day before, you had to leave what? Just that much earlier, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you live way out in another country, you might have to leave weeks or a month or a month and a half early to be there on time. So do you understand why in Acts chapter 15, yeah, I believe it's Acts chapter 15, they say, hey, this wasn't convenient. Because if you had to be in Jerusalem three times in the year, and you live far away, you spent a lot of the year doing what?
Traveling.
Okay. So when Mary and Joseph are coming, and I believe that according to the scriptures, the way the scriptures read to me, all of Israel wasn't keeping all three feast days.
Okay.
They weren't coming all three times of the year. When did it say it was Mary and Joseph's custom to come to Jerusalem? It tells us. I'll find that in a second. Because it was their custom to come for Passover, okay?
Yeah.
That was their custom. Now, they may have come the other two feast days, but it says it was their custom to come for Passover. Mary is about to deliver. Cyrene, the governor, has told everybody, be in the place that you were born to pay your taxes. They come, and they don't find any hotels, no rooms at any inns. But the shepherds are out in the fields with their animals, right?
Yep.
Now, let's ask another question. Would you, if you were a ruler of a country, would you require your people to travel in the dead of winter?
No.
I need all y'all to be in a certain place. Y'all make it when it's the coldest and the wettest time of the year. That's when I want you to come. Do you think you're going to get some uprisings?
Yes, you would.
Yeah.
Some revolting. The Romans knew this too. Okay, they weren't dumb. The Most High, all the Most High's feast days, is there a feast day in the middle of winter?
No, it's not.
No.
The Most High knows this too. So, it's common sense, right?
Common sense.
Yep.
I'm not going to make you travel in the dead of winter when it's the worst weather, you get sick, you die, you know, all kind of stuff. So the Most High's feast days are in the spring, and the latest one is late fall. Okay. Now we got the shepherds. Go back to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were, we know that they're being taxed. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, which were over their flocks by night. Now, the only time that the shepherds take these flocks, these sheep, according to my studies, is when they're lambing. The only time they take them out and stay with them, because they need to watch out. If the springtime is when all of life is being renewed, that means also, if you're a predator, when are you going to have your babies?
In the springtime.
At the same time when there's an abundance of what?
Food.
So if you are a shepherd and you are out and your lambs are out in the field and they're having baby lambs, do you think that there are predators around?
Yes, I did.
Because they know. So you got to be out there what? Protecting them. You got to be out there. Do you think that some sheep might have problems delivering?
Yes.
And part of your job as the shepherd is to help them.
24/7.
24/7. It's your job to help them. So if they have, if you got a ewe that is having a problem delivering a lamb, the shepherd has to be watching to make sure that if she goes into distress, he got to go up in there and help pull that lamb out. Maybe the legs got stuck. Maybe, you know, the head tried to come out first, because with the animals, the legs will come out first. With humans, it's the head that comes out first.
I just learned something there.
Amen. So if the legs go and get in the wrong position, that sheep may not be able to push that lamb out. And you as the shepherd had to go up in there.
Yeah.
Grab them by the feet, pull them out. Just like when a baby gets breached and they turn around in the birth canal, they're trying to come out feet first. For a human, that's breached. For an animal, that's normal. Four-legged animals, they come out feet first. First feet,
that's
and then
great.
The head, and then the rest of the body. With humans, it's what? The baby's head first.
Right.
And then the rest of the body. So, you know, if a baby gets in the wrong position, then we need the doctor to what? Go in and help deliver the baby?
Cesarean.
And if it's a lamb, if it's a cow, if you got a farm, then it's up to the farmer or the shepherd if the lamb gets into trouble, if the sheep gets into trouble, to help deliver that baby. And then to help protect the lambs from wolves and bears and lions. That's what David was doing, right?
Right.
So they would be outside with these lambs. They're in the field. They're delivering, and this is in the springtime. This is telling you that when Mary and Joseph got to, when is Passover? Is it in the winter, the summer, or the spring?
Springtime.
It's in the springtime. Now, here's an issue.
Your father.
If Messiah is being born in Bethlehem, and this is where I ran into when I first put this in my heart, I thought Messiah was born on Passover. But if Messiah was born on Passover, where are all the males required to be three times a year?
Temple.
In Jerusalem.
Where?
Temple.
In Jerusalem.
The temple? Yes. Where's the temple at?
Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem, three times a year. So if Messiah was born on, if he had been born on Passover, would Joseph be required to be in Jerusalem?
Yep.
If he was born during Tabernacles, would Joseph be required to be in Jerusalem?
Yep.
If he was born during Pentecost, would Joseph be required to be in Jerusalem?
Yep.
Yes.
Couldn't be in Bethlehem, right?
Right.
He would be required to be in Jerusalem. The Most High would not make you break his law. He's not going to break his law for the birth of Messiah either. So is there a requirement to be in Jerusalem the first of Abib or the first of Nisan?
Yes, it is.
No, there's not.
December 24th.
There is no requirement to be in Jerusalem on the first of Abib. Only during the first three feast days. Passover is in the month of Abib, right?
Right.
Well, it'll be Passover month.
But what day is it of that month?
On the 14th day of Abib.
On the 14th day in the evening, right? So Messiah, as long as Messiah is born before the 14th, can Joseph still, if Messiah is born on the first of the month, can Joseph still make Passover and be in Jerusalem?
I think so.
I doubt it.
You doubt it?
I doubt it. I doubt it.
The truth of the matter is, so I want you guys to catch this, okay? Because we want to go by truth, right?
Yes.
Got to be in truth. How far is Bethlehem from Jerusalem?
Long time.
A couple of miles.
It's within a 2 or 3 day journey, okay?
1 mile by a Maserati.
Okay. Let me Google this, okay? Because I want us to understand. I'm asking you questions in such a way that you have to look. You first of all, you have to look at the scriptures what critically.
Right.
Mhm.
And you have to examine, and then you have to ask, what if, right? What if? Is there anything wrong with that? So, and the question is, could Joseph make it to Jerusalem from Bethlehem by Passover if Messiah was born at the first of the month? That's what I asked, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, he could.
How far is Bethlehem from Jerusalem?
Couple of kilometers, I don't know.
By car today, it is a 20-minute drive. Now, 10 kilometers, let's look up something. How long did it take to travel from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? In biblical times.
Got to be 6 days.
Now let's see. It says each route took about 30 hours to walk. 17 to 20 miles a day for 5 days. At that rate, the journey would take Joseph and Mary at least 5 days. Where are they coming from? Road to Bethlehem. This has to be coming from 5 days. It's got to be coming from Nazareth. Let's see. Let's see what they're saying here. The other possible route, as one of Joseph and Mary more likely traveled, it would be taking them southeast across the Jezreel Valley. Where they got them coming from, though? Town named Nazareth, the angel Gabriel, so forth and so promised. Okay. Joseph and Mary went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David called Bethlehem, to be taxed. They would probably have taken the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, one of two routes. One would have taken them south across the Jezreel Valley, then through the valley to the hills. Directly, no dealings with the Samaritans. Okay. The other possible route is that Joseph and Mary, more likely travel, would have taken them southeast across the Jezreel Valley, connected to them. Okay. Each route took me about 30 hours to walk 17 to 20 miles a day for 5 days. So from Galilee, they're coming from Galilee to Bethlehem. They're saying the trip would take 5 days. Now, what I want to know is how far from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, because that's closer, a lot closer, and I think you could do it in less than a day. So let me go back and find this.
It says there's 90 miles between Bethlehem and...
It says about 5 miles.
Right.
So what did you find, my sister?
Mm-hmm.
If you could do about 17 kilometers a day, and Jerusalem to Bethlehem is 20 kilometers, you can do it in just over a day, right?
Right. With 5 miles, and it says 8 kilometers
of Bethlehem. All right. So by camel, we can say that you can probably do it in a day or two, at the max, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
So if Messiah is born at the first of the month and it takes two days, do we need to give Mary some time to heal?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, here's some scenarios. We're just talking, okay? Because we still got an issue to deal with, all right? Messiah is born in Bethlehem. We know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
What has to happen to Messiah in 8 days?
He has to be circumcised.
Where would he have to be circumcised at?
Temple.
In Jerusalem. So no matter where they're at, by the 8th day of Messiah's birth, they got to be where?
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem.
Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Just saying, these are the things that we got to what? Think about. So if Jerusalem were a long way from Bethlehem, and Joseph and Mary had to travel to Bethlehem first, and then Mary has Messiah, if she has him, let's say she has Messiah the 10th day of the month, Joseph has to be in Jerusalem when? On the 14th for the Passover, at least, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find another verse here. Because, you know, as I said, all of this is in the scriptures. Okay, so we know that we were looking at the angel, we were looking at the shepherds being out in the field, right?
Uh-huh.
And we know the shepherds not going to be out in the field, and they're not going to be having lambs in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And we know that they're out in the field, so there's room, there's no room at the inns, but there's room in the what, stables, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drop down to verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Everybody is there?
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
And when the 8 days were accomplished, when was the baby supposed to be circumcised?
8 days.
And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, talking about Messiah, his name was called Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to Yah. Now, how long was the purification time for a male child?
8 days?
Uh-uh.
Is it more than that?
I think for a male, 8 days.
It's not 11 days. Go ahead, I think it's Sister Rachel.
I think it's like either for a male child, it's like, gosh, I had my voice, I think it was like 50, 80 days, something like that.
Okay, let's go get the scriptures, okay?
I think it's either 6 or 7 days.
And that would be wrong, too.
Oh, okay.
Let's see.
Good guess. Good guess.
I think that is in Leviticus chapter 12. Let me see it. I believe that's Leviticus chapter 12. Let me look.
I think it's 23. No.
Like 33 days. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 12 and start in verse 1. Okay? Because the scriptures is telling us stuff. All we got to do is put it together, okay?
Leviticus 12 and 21.
Yeah, Leviticus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. When everybody have it, say amen.
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 And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman conceive a seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean how many days?
7 days.
Hold on. Don't say it like that. Like that's the answer. She's unclean 7 days, okay? According to the days of the separation of her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the eighth day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Verse 4. She shall then continue in the blood of her purifying how many days?
3 days.
33 days.
That's it. Huh?
33 days.
She continues in the blood of her purifying for another 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come unto the sanctuary, until the days of her purifying be what? Fulfilled.
Oh, okay.
So she's unclean 7 days, and then she got to continue cleaning for another what? 33
days.
That's a total of 40 days.
Well, then they can make another baby.
No,
that ain't happening.
That's why we're in trouble now.
She ain't even healed yet to have another baby.
Right.
So, let's go back to Luke chapter 2. We know that Yeshua has to be circumcised by the eighth day of his birth, right?
Right.
He's got to be circumcised at the temple. Who's got to take him to do that? Can Mary?
Joseph
got to take him, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because Mary can't go to the temple for how many days?
33 days. Well, 40.
33 days after the first 7. A total of what? 40 days.
40 days.
Because it says she shall continue for 33 days. She was already unclean, what, 7 days, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it says now she shall continue another 33 days. That's a total of how many days? 40.
40.
So from the birth of Messiah for a month and 10 days, she cannot go to the sanctuary. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
And the one that had to take Messiah to be circumcised on the eighth day had to be who then?
Joseph.
Because Mary couldn't go to the sanctuary. She shall touch no hallowed thing or enter into the what? Sanctuary. Now, she could have gone and been outside, but she couldn't be there for the circumcision. He could bring him out afterwards. But I don't think that most of the time that you know, within that first couple of weeks of giving childbirth, even longer than that, that the woman's going to be doing any what? Traveling?
Right.
You know, I don't know how they were back then, but, you know, childbirth could be horrendous. And she's still, what, bleeding?
Right.
She'd have been sore. They, you know, delivering a baby ain't nothing easy, as far as I've heard.
It ain't.
I mean, I ain't never had one, so I can't testify to this personally, but you women that have had one, y'all can testify.
I can't say nothing.
I'm a witness. It is.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
I know it sounds awfully uncomfortable.
Amen. So if you had to get on a donkey, do you think you'd be comfortable?
Ooh, I don't think you should get on the
donkey. No.
I'm just saying, do we think about these things? Because I do. I'd be like, no, I don't think she's going to get on that donkey.
I don't think she'd get on no donkey.
You can blame that on Eve.
Yeah, she didn't get on no donkey. Joseph went and took Messiah to the temple, had him circumcised. And then 33 days later, then Mary could go to the temple and make the required what? Sacrifices?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She was
so verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. They brought him to Jerusalem after that time to what? Present him to Yah. Because they had to present him because he was the firstborn male, right?
Right.
Yep.
As it is written in the law of Yah, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to Yah. And to offer the sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of Yah, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So everything that is required in the law, and if we went back to Leviticus chapter 12, we're just told that Mary did all that, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And there was a time frame before she could do it. So just by reading the law, now, if Messiah was born on the first of Abib, the first of Nisan, then on the eighth day, if Jerusalem was a long way away, then as soon as if Jerusalem was 8 days away. And I'm giving us some what ifs now, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to think about what I'm saying to you. If Jerusalem was 8 days away and Messiah had to fulfill the law, Joseph had to fulfill the law, right?
Right.
When would Joseph would have to have left with Messiah to have him in Jerusalem by the eighth day if they were 8 days away?
The same day he was born,
he would have to get up out of there, right?
Yep.
Do you think Mary would have been able to travel right then?
No.
So you see why I'm what-ifing? Because things have to do what? They have to make sense, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It has to make sense. If Messiah was born, if Jerusalem is only 2 days away, how old would Messiah have to be before Joseph would have to leave to have him in Jerusalem, to have him circumcised on the eighth day?
8 days old. 6 days. 6 days old.
6 days old, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
If Jerusalem was one day away, the Messiah could wait until what? The seventh day. Joseph could wait till Messiah was a week old, right?
Yep.
And then take him to Jerusalem and have him circumcised on the eighth day. I'm just what-ifing things, all right? Now, when Passover comes, Passover is going to be the 14th day of the month, right?
Right.
Right.
If Mary had Messiah on the eighth day of the month, could she go to Passover?
No.
Could
yeah,
she participate in Passover?
No.
I don't think so.
Is Passover holy?
Yes, it is.
Is Passover holy?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
She was unclean.
She was unclean, so she wouldn't have been able to take part in Passover, right?
Right.
Right.
So I'm just getting you to think about all these different things, okay?
Yep.
Things that people don't normally think about. What if it? So let me find something here. Hold on a second. I don't remember where this verse is at. Let me see if I can find it. I think this verse is when he's about 12 years old. But let me see, make sure I can find this.
I love these people.
And it probably is in the book of Luke as well. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Let's drop down to verse 41. And we'll start in verse 40. And when you have it, say amen.
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 Now remember, in verse 39. Let's look at verse 39. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of Yah, they returned where?
Galilee.
To their own city, right? Of Nazareth.
Yeah.
Nazareth within Galilee. Okay. Where was who can tell me where Galilee was at?
It's in Bethlehem.
What did you just say, my sister?
I said Jerusalem. No.
Jerusalem is a city, okay? Galilee is a city.
Okay.
Where is the city of Galilee located at?
In Bethlehem.
Bethlehem is a city.
By the sea.
Oh, Judea.
Judea is the southern kingdom.
Okay.
So where's Galilee? Would you say, Brother Gary?
I don't know, by the sea.
Where's Galilee?
By the sea, where?
You're
in the house,
but
where by the sea?
It's in northern Israel.
It's in northern Israel. So I want you to close your eyes. Let me paint a picture for you. I want you to picture the nation of Israel. I want you to picture that we're going to divide it into threes, okay? The city of Nazareth, if we divide the nation of Israel into thirds, the city of Nazareth is in the northern part of Israel, and it would be on the southern part of that first third. And then in the middle, the second third, what would be there? That's Samaria. So the northern part of Israel was divided, Israel was divided in thirds, okay?
Okay.
The northern part of Israel, the northern third part of Israel was Galilee, all right? Nazareth was a city in Galilee. Anybody not understand that?
Yes.
And as Gary, Brother Gary said, it was by the sea. Okay? Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath to the south of Nazareth was Samaria. And then when you came out of Samaria, you were in Judea. Everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So they returned to Galilee, which is in the northern part of what? Israel. Bethlehem is in the southern part. Everybody understand that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary and Joseph returned to Galilee, their own city of Nazareth, to their own city of Nazareth in Galilee. And the child grew, Messiah grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom. The grace of Elohim was upon him. Now, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at what feast?
The feast of Passover.
This is what they commonly kept. They would go to the Passover. This is why I said I don't really believe that they all always kept what? All three feast days?
Right.
Because it was a little trip. It became hard. Everybody understand that?
Yes, I do.
It became hard for them to keep it.
Riding on donkey suit.
And so some people were able to make it. Some people came for the what? Pentecost?
Yeah.
Some people came for Tabernacles. But it was hard. Unless you lived around Jerusalem, it was hard to make all three feasts. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just want, you know, I'm trying to make sure that we understand what was going on at the time. Because when we read the other Gospels, like the book of Acts, it talks about these things. And they have arguments about these things. But you got to understand, you know, the sign of the times. You got to understand what was going on. So when it says certain things, you get the truth from it. Okay? So they returned into their own city. And it was that they... His parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. It doesn't say that they went to all the feast days, does it?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay. So, Messiah was born during the month of Nisan. Mary and Joseph would have been traveling to Jerusalem because that's when they usually came, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Passover. But in this case, the Roman governor said, hey, we want you to return to your home, to your city where you were born. It was already prophesied that Messiah would have to be born in what, Bethlehem?
Right.
And so he would have been born in Bethlehem no matter what, because Mary and Joseph would have made sure that they were in Jerusalem for the Passover. They would have made sure that they were in Bethlehem. The Most High just made it to where the government required that he return to his city of birth, where it was already prophesied that Messiah would be born. But it was during the same time as Passover. He was not born on Passover. He fulfills the Passover. But he would have been born the same time that the tabernacle was raised. The tabernacle was raised on what day of the month?
14.
Uh-uh. What day was the tabernacle raised? The what day of the first month?
The first day of the first month, Abel.
The first day of the first month. Messiah is that tabernacle. That's when he would have been also born. The first day of the first month. That would be his birthday. The tabernacle tells us prophetically that that's when he would have been born. But then nature tells us that. When I finished this study of the course of the priest, because by the course of the priest, when Zechariah's father was serving in the temple, if we can determine when the course of Abia was during the time of Zechariah, John's father, then we would know 6 months from that time. How many months older was John than Messiah?
6 months.
6 months.
6 months. So if we can tell what time that Zechariah, John's father, was in serving in the temple, then we can also determine what month. We can determine what month John was born, and we know that 6 months after John was born, Messiah was born. Okay? So I'm going to run that down, because Most High says, okay, you can get the courses. Go to Chronicles chapter 1, Chronicles chapter 24, I believe, 12. Or 24,
like,
after
I'd
look
like
it up.
I'd like to know that.
And then we are told in other writings when the temple was destroyed and what priestly course was in was, we're told that the temple was destroyed in what year? 12, we ain't saying nothing.
We don't know, brother.
Okay. The temple was destroyed in 70 A.D.
70 A.D. Let me write that down.
70 A.D. It was destroyed by the Romans. And we can go to other writings, and it will tell us what month the temple was destroyed in and what day. So we're told that it was destroyed on a Sunday in December in 70 A.D. And I'm sure I can get the exact date. But if we know that, then we can, and they also said what priestly course was serving in the temple at that time. So if you have a calendar of the priestly courses when each family had their duty in the temple, then if it says that John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was serving in his priesthood. He was doing his term, and it was in the course of Abijah. When you go to Chronicles and you look up Abijah, Abijah was the eighth course. Anybody know how many courses there were?
No.
24. 24 courses that lasted a week. So every 24 weeks, the cycle would do what? Repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, it says, on my computer says the temple was destroyed in March 70 A.D., the month of Adar.
It says March 70 A.D.?
Yep.
Okay. What and did it tell you what priestly course was serving at that time?
Okay, hold up. Let me find it.
It might tell you, depends upon what your source is, okay?
Right.
It might not. But there is a writing out there that tells us what priestly course was serving during the time that the temple was destroyed. Why is that important? If we have a calendar and we know what priestly course was serving in 70 AD and the courses ran in order, then we could actually just what? Run it backwards?
Right.
Until the time of John the Baptist's birth, his conception, I mean, because that's when we're told that Zechariah, his father, was serving in the temple. We would know the exact week that he was serving, and that'll tell us what month, and then we could calculate from there Messiah's birth. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that too complicated?
Not really. I'm just a little slow.
Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with being slow.
I'm typing.
You're just a little bit special, huh?
I am. I'm special.
So that's, you know, that's another study. We're given some information. We know from Chronicles what the course of the priests were, what order they served. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
And then we're told in, I believe it's Luke chapter 1, that Zechariah, John's father, was serving in the temple when the angel Gabriel came to him, and that it was the course of Abijah. And
that's
according to Chronicles, that's the eighth course. That's the eighth, you know, in the chain of 24. And so, but what you have to be able to determine is when did it start, and then you have to run it in order by years, because if we got 24 courses, how many times does a priest serve in a year? Let me give more information. If you got 24 courses and each course is a week, how many times does a priest or that family serve in a year?
I don't know. Okay.
Nobody? Okay, let me ask this. How many weeks in a year?
You may hear us news operating.
I don't know, four times 12.
That usually works, but do we have some months that have 5 weeks in them?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got some months that got 5 weeks, right?
Right.
So you can't really do four times 12. That'll give you a minimum, 48 weeks, but there's actually 52 weeks in a year. There are 4 months with 5 weeks in them. Okay? Total of 52 weeks in a year. So if the priestly line is 24 weeks long, how many times in a year would the priest serve?
That's the last third in the temple.
How many times will 24 go into 52?
Two.
So each priestly family served at least twice in a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you got 4 weeks that are not counted for, so the calendar doesn't run. You can't just say you know, you repeat it every 48 weeks and say, oh, this would be the line in years. You would have to say, okay, they're going to serve twice in a year, and then the first one to serve in the 49th week, they start over, but you're still in that year. So the first line would serve, have started their third term. And then the second, third, and fourth. I don't know if that made sense. But you get some groups that have served three times in 1 year and some groups that have served, what, twice? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to run it backwards. But you can still come up with the date using it that way. So when did this calendar, when did the priestly calendar start? When did it start? And then we'll close up with this.
How many priests got pulled out of the temple when they're before God?
How many priests got pulled out of the temple when they died?
When they died, when they went before the Ark of the Covenant.
I don't know how many priests died. I have to look and see if there was any priest that died.
They tied a rope
around
their ankle.
When the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, Eli and his sons died. But that's one family, right? That's the only time I know of any priest dying, is when Eli and his sons died, and they sent the Ark of the Covenant to the battlefield, but because Eli and his sons were corrupt, his sons were sleeping with women in the temple, and Eli didn't say anything about it, and the Most High caused Eli to die and his sons to die, and the Ark of the Covenant got what, taken by the Philistines. But then what happened to the Philistines? They had the Ark of the Covenant. What happened to them? They got a bad case of hemorrhoids. That's what happened to them. You think you're going to be having the Ark of the Most High? He says, I got something for y'all. I'm going to give y'all bad, they call them hemorrhoids. It's hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
Butt hanging out.
Ew.
They were in a hurry to get rid of that ark. All right.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, the scriptures are funny. And, you know, like I said, attention to what? Detail.
All right.
Okay, attention to detail.
I can say something, but I'm not going to, but yeah.
All right, so let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you on tonight for your word, Father. And as we go forward with the coming up season of the feast days, your Sabbath, Father, we want to honor Messiah in his birth. The angels honored him, the shepherds honored him, and we should honor his birth and remember it, the birth of our King, our Elohim, into this world. And Father, so we will observe it coming up, Father, in the first of Abib, the first of Nisan, and we will pay tribute to our Messiah. The world celebrates his birth during Christmas, Father, but we know that that was not the time that he was birthed, and it's not a date that you gave us. But you did tell us to keep the new moons, And Messiah just happened to be born on a what? New moon. The first of Nisan, which would also be a new moon. So during our new moon service on this year, we, for the first month of Abib, as we started, we will observe the birth of Messiah with the new moon service, that he is the beginning. He is the first and the last. Father, we do these things because you have shown me that Messiah's birth was foretold in the tabernacle, in the raising of the tabernacle, that Messiah, it was a type and a shadow of Messiah, Elohim dwelling with us. And Messiah was Elohim dwelling with us. So, Father, we just thank you for your word on this night. And we praise your holy name. We thank you for your gift of salvation and for the work that you've done through Messiah. And we want to honor you and he in it, in that work. Honor you in the work that you have done. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
All right. On tomorrow morning, we will continue with Black History in the Bible. Amen. Are you clapping?
I don't know what that is.
Praise to the Hall for our Most High God.
All right, amen, amen, Brother Gary. Amen. Well, let's give the Lord Most High
All God's children, we have a place in the choir. Some sing more, some sing higher, some sing out loud on the telephone wire, some just clap their hands.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Gary, I can get with you on that. All right, amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. So we will see everybody in the morning, all those who are going to participate in Black History according to the Bible. We will continue in this in the book of Exodus in the morning, 10 o'clock a.m. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember, I love you. All right, amen. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All right.
Every day can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the mishma. never got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? Without you, there's no need. I need a